21st, 2017, 6 p.m. Myself, Alderman Frieders, we have Alderman Tarulis, Alderman Milshewski, and Alderman Koch. I also have Brad and Eric, and our lovely note taker Marlis. Any citizens' comments? Pipe down! Minutes for correction approval from October 17th, 2017.
Good.
It's a pretty lively interpretation, though. That was nice work.
Yeah, that was a big one.
One thing that was missing was like an animated special on it. See, new business, Public Works 2017-75, Water Department reports for July, August, and September.
Nothing really special, pretty routine. As you can see in the September, well 9 was out of service and pumped 0 gallons, so you see a large jump in 8s pumpage. And it looks like to be 8 and 9 on the August one are switched. I'll have to have that corrected.
So are we done with 9's repair?
Yes, it is fully operational. The total bill I just got the other day is about $173,000.
Now, are we going to keep that porta potty there for a little bit longer?
If it makes sense. It's theirs like, whenever they want to move it out of there.
It's a convenient location.
Parks? Parks? Are we talking about parks?
The Well 9 site, they still have a porta potty. Yes.
Okay.
I know some of the golfers appreciated it.
Yeah.
Moving on, Public Works 2017-76, the sanitary sewer lining, change order number one.
Yeah, this will be the one and only change order. The project is 100% complete. So this is what we call the...
Stupid windows.
Balancing change order. So it's a net reduction of $400 in change.
Woo-hoo. All right, let's do it again. PW 2017-77, West Washington Street Water Main Improvements.
Yeah, similar story. The project is complete, and this is the final, one and only final change order, balancing change order, so going down almost $25,000.
Everyone?
Yep.
Let's do it again.
All right.
New business number four, PW 2017-78, Countryside Water Main and Roadway Improvements.
All right, same story here. Final balancing change order. Project is 100% complete. So, yeah, we're going down a significant amount, $320,000+.
Everyone.
Yeah, hospice is so big.
There were several line items that we didn't use. Trench backfill, concrete, remove and replace, patching. We anticipated, you know, there's a lot of unknowns with that size of projects. So we anticipated some things that didn't come, we didn't have to use.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
That's a big number.
Keep doing that. Nice work. Public Works 2017-17. We'll talk about them all at the end. Kennedy Road Shared Use Path.
All right, this is a typical authorization that you see with federally funded projects. In this particular case, this is for the flagging for the work that occurred within railroad right-of-way. So it's a requirement of the railroad to have flaggers there while the work is being performed. So this is something that's normally not in a contract, no real way to quantify how many days or hours. So this is how it's typically handled on these styles of projects. So the authorization number three is just slightly over $5,000, and we are recommending approval. So there'll be, at some point, there'll be a final balancing authorization with this particular project, but that's going to be a month or two down the road.
All right. So on all of these, NB 2, 3, 4, and 5, we put them all on consent since they're all kind of balancing with except for the last one. And Seaver, I know that you want to talk about Kennedy Road, so this is your...
No, I just want to forget about it. Can't we finish that and be done with it then?
Yes.
One step in the process.
Yeah, so where we're at, and then we took your punch list items, those were forwarded on to the contractor. And at this time of year, you know, to get grass to grow and to final all that out,
we're actually growing amongst all the rocks.
Yeah, we're very lucky that it actually grew as well as it did, considering when they seeded it. So they'll be addressing those final items in the spring.
It'll be over still spring.
Yeah, this project will not be closed out until...
They'll make me and several homeowners happy.
Yeah, it'll be probably mid 2018, but I know the punch list items have been forwarded. I think they've addressed some things, but definitely not everything yet.
since we're on the issue of the pay of kind, raise a new item. Question, just a question. Since I've had two inquiries as to why we didn't plant trees along the section east of Autumn Creek. That's where the cornfield is at.
Yeah, sure.
Because the parkway was wide there, so I've had two people ask me, you got rid of that nice grove of trees that canopy that overhung the street. So I is there a reason we didn't plant trees there and we planted along?
There is, because there is no, it's a rural cross section. There's no curve. And those trees have actually been a bad factor in accidents that were along that road.
Looking for an answer.
Then also with that, Grain Reserve, I think, has an overall landscape plan that will address like the backside of the, it'll look like more like the backside, like to the east, yeah, by the golf course where they have all their berm and their trees.
Yeah, there, I noticed that. Yeah. Yeah.
So we thought we'd leave that alone.
Correct. And also, weren't the trees that were there part of the reason why the road was so crappy?
Yes.
And that's a technical term, I believe. Crappy.
It is. It's never let it dry out.
Yeah, okay.
That's why we had an accident.
Number of them, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so consent.
Mm-hmm. No, is Carlo going to pull it off?
I hope so.
Okay. No. And just for clarification, did the water reports go on consent as well?
Yes.
Did we ever, okay.
I always consider those informational. There's really not much you can do about that, with the exception of fixing August.
I'll fix August, and it will be correct.
All right. Public Works 2017-80, Fountain Village, completion of improvement and engineering. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the city actually entered into agreement with the bank to obtain funds for the completion of these improvements. Back in August, the city council went ahead and called the letter of credit. So the city attorney worked with the bank's attorney to work out an agreement. Cash is in hand. Rob has deposited the check. In front of you is an engineering agreement to put together a bid package and then to assist in the construction and the completion of the work. So we're anticipating that we would bid it out sometime late winter, early spring, start work in April timeframe, and kind of wrap it up mid-summer 2018.
Was the trade, I'm going to call it, between the developer and the city, was that approved by city council too? I know that Kathy had signed it here and that we thought it was fine, but I don't recall that going in front of city council yet.
That I don't recall.
Okay, yeah. She's in the other room, so I can ask her too. If not, we'll make sure that doesn't require city council approval, and if it does, we'll throw that on the agenda too.
Any other comments? I'm okay with consent. Anyone else?
Good.
Bearing there's no
changes.
All right. New business number 7, Public Works 2017-81, the TAP grant.
Yeah, so we've applied for this in the past for 47 and a portion of Kennedy Road. The county had actually approached us on. And so our idea here was, in case the ITEP grant does not go through on Fox Road, which we think is a long shot, but there was no, effort really needed for us to do so other than staff effort, is to apply for a TAP grant through the county to identify a corridor for the Fox Road. So if we get the ITEP grant, great, we can just throw $50,000 towards it, and that's $50,000 less that we have to figure out how to fund afterwards. And if we don't get the grant, then we can actually use it to cut down our costs in the future for easement acquisition, corridor planning, and some other things. So we think that with that about $100,000, we probably could get a sidewalk or a path between the White Oak subdivision and downtown, which would be a nice connection point to have and to kind of knock off the list prior to a future path. So, again, with the TAP grants, similar to ITEP, there's no penalty. If we get the grant and then decline it, in fact, I think that there weren't really that many applicants and people moving forward with the projects last year. So hopefully, I'm optimistic based on past history that they would grant us this, and then it would just be a matter of waiting to see if the ITEP grant came in or not after that.
And when did we find out about the ITEP?
That's usually September. It's a fair amount of months. Right. So I think the county usually announces these in May, if I remember correctly. So there may be a little bit of a lag time there, but the county has been really good to work with in the past administration of the grant.
So this is a $50,000 grant, right?
It is.
And then that's also $50,000 from us, match it?
Yes.
Okay, and then ITEP, we're talking $750,000, right?
Yeah, several hundred thousand dollars to $1 million plus. And so the thought was, is if we managed to grab one of those, we would figure out the funding source over a number of years to see whether we wanted to move forward with it. So that same premise applied here was, yes, technically you're making a $50,000 grant commitment, but if for some reason during the budget process or even after award that we decide, hey, we're not going to do this. It's not a priority. We don't have the money. There's no penalty for withdrawing.
Basically, the dollars go back to the county then?
Yeah. Well, they'll just never give them to us. So okay. They won't do that until we sign an agreement and then actually commit to doing the project and starting it. So it's a little bit of a fishing expedition for money and projects on our part, but we saw that as a good thing.
I'm okay for now.
Yeah, I don't know. The $750,000...
No,
that's going to be a bigger...
Yeah. I would expect it to be a topic of hot topic of conversation.
Well, because you need a road, so yeah. That, I think, would have a priority over that.
But, again, I understand why cities go out for fishing expeditions. You don't know unless you try. Mm-hmm. So I'm always down to try. And this one doesn't have the penalty like the ones for the...
Oslin.
Yeah, there. Those you pretty much refuse
those
them.
You say no.
You say no. They don't. You're not gonna get asked again for it ever.
Yeah.
For a long time.
As long as we're not committed at the moment. I like that.
It's like dating in college. consent, or do you want to discuss it? I'm okay with consent.
Put it on consent.
Once there's commitment, we'll actually get higher. All right, I'm so excited about this. New business number 8, Public Works 2017-82, Mill Street Parking.
There's a long memo, I think, in the packet. I didn't put any drawings in there because I thought it was pretty easy to understand, at least there. So we have restrictions on both sides. There may have been people parking there from time to time, which we would not allow and not recommend allowing. But the signs that are actually on the street are confusing in that they say no parking on pavement. The code says the same thing, even though you're not allowed to park on the grass in other sections of code. So the recommendation at a staff level is to leave the parking restriction in place, maybe amend it so that it's, if needed, so that it's more clear that you can't park on the pavement or the grass, and then change the sign so that there wasn't any confusion in the area, too. So it's a unique street with the slope. You've got landscaping on the east side. The street is actually shifted very far to the east within the right-of-way, which then poses some additional issues just from a footprint. And so that was our best recommendation for the street going forward.
What will the sign say?
No parking.
Yep, Circle P.
So confusing.
No, you're wrong.
So,
think people will get it?
No.
So, was the last festival, did it still have the issues of people parking there, even with the extra parking that we've added? About the bank there and the parking lot across from it?
It was.
Was it as bad, or? I didn't go down there.
Well, the signs changed. Because the first one was, the summer solstice that we had issues. But we found out some signs were missing.
Right.
No,
one
parking
sign was
on
missing,
pavement.
And we didn't have the bank lot at that time.
And we didn't have the bank.
That's why I was wondering if that helped on people parking on that.
It
would have been just this past weekend
the,
where it really would have been noticed, I think.
I know they were parking
parade.
Up ours, but I didn't go up.
I wanted to drive Santa up Houston and then down Mill, but there were too many cars parked.
they were on both sides of the street.
Get off my lawn! No, seriously, get off my lawn. You're parking in grass.
So then, and also, so we're going to have, Van Emmon won't have any stop signs then? All stop signs will be...
We're not there yet.
Oh.
Don't cross the street.
We're on Mill.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They're all...
No, we're not to that one. That's
okay.
The next one.
That's next.
I knew I read
consent?
About both of them. Yeah.
Consent?
Look.
All right.
I'm good.
Nah. Lady
Ladies and gentlemen, new business number 9, Public Works 2017-83, traffic control signs, Husis and Van Emmon.
This one's all Brad. I didn't have anything to do with this. Thank
you, Bart. Where do we start, Brad?
So, we'll start with the memo. How's that?
Yeah, so the discussion here.
So we prepared a typical memo that you've seen on these types of evaluations. So the first section was, you know, are there really stop signs or yield signs even necessary at this intersection? And based on the traffic, you know, there's over 2,000 cars a day on Van Emmon. You know, it's a collector road. Plus there's some sight distance concerns and what to have you there. So certainly, excuse me, stop signs are warranted. Since Van Emmon is the major street, really, the stop signs should not be on Van Emmon. They should be on Husis.
Yes.
So we comment on that as well. We then further look at whether or not it should be a four-way stop. You know, there's a little bit of argument that, you know, some of the sight distance concerns could tip it in that direction. But at the end of the day, excuse me, our reasoning is kind of noted in here that we don't feel that that is necessary. We also have some updated crash data that we're able to obtain from the police department. And we noted that, you know, several of the crashes, almost half of the crashes occurred because of confusion on Van Emmon, on whether, you know, since it's the main travel route, there's confusion on why they need to stop and Husis doesn't stop. So that seems to be the cause of almost half of the accidents since 2010. And then Eric had provided some comments on ice and wet conditions. That's been brought up in the past. And he noted some things there and how operations kind of handles things. And then Eric also contacted the bus company. That was another item that had been brought up in years past. So, you know, their comment is noted there that, you know, there are a few that go down Husis, but they don't have to, and they can be directed not to use it at all if that's the direction that is preferred. So, yeah, our recommendation is to remove the stop signs on Husis, or excuse me, on Van Emmon and place them on Husis based on the data that's in front of us, the crash data, the traffic data, and what have you.
Let them have it.
Well, first of all, I really love this, that people are confused. There's flipping stop signs there. What confuses people?
Well,
they just don't stop. It's not even, like, they just don't stop, period. It doesn't matter who's going up or down. They don't stop. That's not confusion. That's breaking the law. I've been there 20 years, so stop signs have been there for 20 years. Stop. I went through your accidents. Well, three are definite. I bet you. I'd like to know the weather conditions. On the one on November 6, 2013, January of 2014, I bet you's weather, and 1/10/17. They tried to slap but stopped but slid through because that's what's going to happen. So how's that? It's just a bad intersection, period. I think if you're going to do something, make it a four-way stop. At least that everybody's anticipating they should stop. And if you slide through, you slide through. Now you're going to hit people not stopping this way and people sliding through.
But there's stop signs.
You can't stop. There's times you cannot stop on that hill.
Well, that's when we put a stop sign approaching sign more on the hill on the east side of Husis.
No, I think her argument is that it's slippery and you're not able to stop.
The last time physically was on city council, I was still clerk.
What happens on me? Or on Mill?
That's what I was wondering, if you should have the same problem on Mill,
Mill's
though.
It's a different slope then. It is a hill, but it's a different slope. You don't have them by the... What's the one coming down from the courthouse?
Madison.
South Main.
South Main. Do they stop? They don't have a stop, because that's probably even worse than Husis.
Yeah.
They don't. Then if you're going to do that, you need to change that one, too.
It's also not nearly as busy in the intersection.
No, but it's just, it's... I think if you did a four-way, I'm not even for that. But mostly people that live there, we stop because people are dumb and don't stop.
Yeah.
I mean, I just made the suggestion maybe we need to draw more, because obviously people don't know what a stop sign is that drive on that street. I just think, and I know the night they had it, it was at City Council. I slid through, Jeff Baker showed up, he slid through that night. It was on City Council. We could not stop at that intersection. I'm not picking on you guys, but it was Black Eyes Week. And then there were four of us from that street could not stop and went through. If it had been a stop sign, it would have been a free-for-all. My husband slid down there sideways on Black Eyes Day. So, I don't know. I disagree with you, but some of these, and then some of the stuff too, if you read and you know the intersection, a lot of it also has to do with you can't see anything by Nicholson's property.
I agree with that.
And so, like, people, there was one where they said, well, they were eastbound and failed to to yield. I don't think they meant not to stop. If you go there and you watch how they stop, they have to stop well past that line to see anybody coming up. It's better now because you don't have the hydraulic traffic coming up.
So. Yeah, there's definitely some sight distance items that need to be addressed. Eric and I spent some time out there and looked at some things. I know there are some bushes and trees that need to be trimmed. There's some parking, perhaps, that needs to be pushed away from the intersection. So there's several things I know we talked about trying to address when time
comes. Okay, so we've addressed them in the past, and they're continual maintenance.
If it's going to have to come down to some kind of change, I'd rather see it a four-way than it switched. Because then everybody's anticipating to stop.
From a study perspective, the conclusions from the data would not support a four-way stop.
Correct.
Okay. So the policy decision by the City Council can be whatever the majority wants to do. The practical implications of continuing to allow accidents there in light of the data would mean that we are more likely to be held liable for creating the accident and having to pay out on it than we would be if we follow the data and then there's still an accident there because people slide down the hill. So same with the four-way stop. So if everybody's okay with that, they say, you know, the data shows what it shows. We think that, you know, we've got a better, judgment on the issue. We can do that just knowing that it potentially opens ourselves up to a little bit of risk when an accident does occur with claims.
I just think now you're putting just too much on the as they don't stop, and then you're putting people in a position where you just can't stop. It doesn't happen often, but it happens. It happens a couple times a year, a winter. So I don't know how that is for liability.
Well, I mean, we have general tort immunity on things that we, can't predict, and that there isn't conscious acknowledgement of, and then willful and wanton misconduct afterwards. So, you know, we would still try to argue that in that scenario, yes, we put the stop sign there, and if we had done something else, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're liable for it. But the data would at least show that we went through the issues, we were not causing accidents, but I think accidents are occurring more frequently than the other way, and so that's why we made the decision to do it, which is, in my mind, is a little bit more defensible from a claim perspective than the other way.
Well, I think you could have a much worse accident doing this, because you're going to have people coming now down Van Nuys.
They're not going to slow up. They're not going to be slowing up now.
They're not going to be slowing up, and someone's going to slide through. I just think, and if they're not slowing up and someone can't stop and slides through, mm-hmm. you could have worse than these accidents. I've lived there long enough and watched it. So, I don't know.
What are your thoughts?
I'm almost four-way stop is the best solution. Hearing what I've heard, that would be my solution at this point in time.
I don't
particularly like that either, but I'm just...
Everybody everybody then is anticipating to stop.
Know, both scenarios here. And I think moving it from one to another is, I really think it's needed at that spot.
I always thought it was kind of weird when I moved here, even that you had that Van Emmon and the little street didn't have it. So I kind of always treat it as a four-way stop anyhow now myself when I go down there. I am, whether I have the stop or not, I'm stopped. Even on Houston, if I come down through there, I'm stopped anyhow. So,
but I think a lot of people do that too.
Yeah. Even that decision makes our judgment associated with this decision more at risk than if we were to do something that's supported by the data. So the fact that you approach that intersection, or would still do it, could still be an issue in the future.
Because I've done it where on Houston, I come down there and I actually stop, and it confuses, and then the people on Van Emmon are looking at you like, well, what are you doing? Go. So.
And people just do that because people on Van Emmon don't stop. Even when I walk down there, they don't stop. I'll tell you what, I walked down there yesterday, and someone almost hit me and my neighbor walking. Because there are no crosswalks. There's no sidewalk on one side of the street. And heaven, you know, pedestrians have the right of way. It's just, people just don't have any respect there. To say they're confused, they're just dumb. They're just, it's not even confusion, it's ignorance. It's a stop sign, stop. And then,
well, I think there might
sight lines are, it's just a bad intersection.
No doubt about it. So, and that's part, I think that's part of the problem, is there's confusion on why there's a stop sign there, you know, because it's unusual to be on that type of a roadway and have a stop sign in that situation. So.
Well, and I don't know which accidents, but some of my neighbors have accidents. It's been interesting that people that have hit them on Van Emmon are not local people.
Sure.
Which, unfortunately, is going to be more and more. So that's another reason you have to support, use the data that's important.
Yeah, that's why we're talking about it. You have traffic counts. You have thousands on one road and a couple hundred on the other, and it always leans towards you make the most concessions for the most traffic.
I'm just afraid you're going to move that stop sign and someone's not going to be able to stop. They're going to be, now they have, it's unrestricted, it's not a traffic calmer, they're going to come flying into town. It's not so much going out, it's the people coming into town. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of stuff down there now, more coming to the different establishments. They're not going to stop, and it's going to even be a worse accident. That's just.
Does a four-way stop have an economic incentive?
To buy more firewood, maybe.
Well, I mean, I have to take care of that issue separately. But I'm just saying that because you do kind of force people to. I mean, I'm surprised more people don't have signage there that say, "Hey, come see my restaurant."
It's going to continue to be a bad intersection.
Okay, I would just think that'd be a good spot because now you got a captive audience.
There's lots of snipe signs and sandwich boards that get taken down at that intersection. You can see one of the pictures, there's a sign leaning up against a stop sign.
I think I did see that, actually.
It's from Brad's pictures, Exhibit C. And you'll see the last picture, number 4, there's a sign underneath the stop sign.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's the ice cream sign.
Yeah, because it's on, come down there and then turn there.
I don't think our attention on this intersection isn't going to waver. I think we owe it to the data that was collected to at least, I don't want to say give it a shot.
And I'm not picking on you, Brad, but I find that it's interesting. This wasn't the same data. I don't know. Or it was this kind of data I don't remember being discussed before.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And that's many years.
Right,
I mean, that's what, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Correct. We last discussed
it
in 2011.
You guys might not even.
And we have new data. We have new. You know, I got the police reports from the police department. You know, a couple weeks before we put together the memo.
There's been 10 or so accidents
since 2011.
Yeah. Since 2011.
Well, right. Because there's more and more people coming into town, so. You know, if that's, you want to go by the data, fine. I'm just telling you by experience, I think it's a bad idea.
Well, I think we should go by the data and keep an eye on it. And that's also an area where we should be asking officers, hey, you have to keep an eye on this because this is important. But it's also something that this is the only intersection on that road that gives favor to 300 or 400 cars a day when you have thousands going the other direction. So I think a change is needed. But I don't think... I think going against the data would just kind of open us... It would make other decisions further down the road on other intersections more based on how we feel rather than what is actually there. That's why when he said, well, this is what the data says, I'm like, you're kidding. We talked about this before.
No, and I get it. And I know there's... I mean, the traffic has gotten worse out there, but it just...
I want to try it and keep an eye on it.
I just, once you do it though, you got to switch it back.
That's it. It's not going to take 20.
Well, what you would do is you'd just re add the stop sign back on
Van Emmon. Stop sign and you add your blinker before
then,
it, right?
And then you're really confused.
But I
think I would support
if you can use
support
them consistently, maybe they won't be going 50 miles an hour. And if they do, hopefully there's an officer there on traffic patrol sniping the bridge again, and it won't happen. There's no way to win this. Like, not everybody's going to be happy on this.
Also, now you're making it bad. Another thing to think of for cross traffic: people park up that hill to go to festivals. Now you don't even have people stopping there to allow them to cross the street.
Right.
That isn't marked, and doesn't have sidewalks on one side.
That's a good. That's a good.
So that's another thing you have
to think
about.
Definitely need a crosswalk eventually.
That is my big concern: is at festivals that.
And you want people
to need something to slow people, at least under those circumstances, to slow people down or stop people.
Because right now, at least for me, you're parking at the bank and you're crossing at the alley right there. Like, that's just how I've done it every time since.
Well, there are those of us that have to go all the way.
I support the four-way.
Hold out to the
this particular
so you got three case. Options: do nothing, leave it as it is, continue to complain about it. Two, do something and use the data that was collected by the professionals. Or three, use our beliefs, which aren't 100% rooted in fact, and make the decision based on that, which opens us up to every intersection decision that we have in the next 10 years being, well, remember what we did to Van Emmon and Eustis. That's why, but if we get to that, let's...
But if those are the three choices, I'd say leave it the way it is.
Yeah, I don't want to leave it the way
it is. At least you have the protection of the people walking across the street, and you have the anticipation that they'll just be confused because they don't know what a flipping stop sign is.
Right.
And the people coming down the hill... So when you go down the hill, don't slow down. Just hit your gas and go through it and hope they don't hit you.
I'm not going to do that.
I can't drive that street anyway. It's super dangerous. Whenever I go to your house, I just go up the louver behind the bank property. It's safer that way.
Actually, I think that it's more making the left turn. If you're coming east on Van Emmon and you go down to the park or the rest, or you know, ice cream or whatever you want to go through down there, that's where I think usually it's when you make that left turn there is where the confusion comes in, that, you know, you're stopping. Yeah, I don't know.
It's all around a bad, it's just a bad situation. The worst part is the northeast where Nicholson's property. That's one problem. And I mean, I do this. This is my walk pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You walk down here, and they're stopping halfway in because they can't see. I can't tell you how many times you think you're going to get hit by a car. And they're stopping. They just are stopping. They're almost halfway into the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. That's something's got to be done there. And nothing's getting done down there. Now it's a little bit better because the trees are de-leafed.
Yeah, but spring will be different.
You know, the apartment, like on the south side, isn't as bad. And then Casa Santiago is close to them. He's probably your next back corner. Brad probably could, for sight lines. It's better in some respects. You don't have as much traffic coming up from the park. See, you can't, because people used to cut, you know, off of 47 on hydraulic and shoot up the hill. They can't do that anymore.
You know where you have the similar confusion? When you go to Plainfield, and you come in 126,
mm-hmm.
and 126 tanks around, because I think they have a stop sign coming out of downtown Plainfield, huh?
No.
No, in downtown Plainfield. There's a stop sign for people coming, and I always found that that's similar to this. Yeah, and 120. So you kind of got. I don't think 126 has to, and it just it reminds me of this a little bit. That I mean, yeah, you have the obvious, you have the stop sign there, but
126 is the larger road,
right? Much larger road.
So even though it feels unnatural.
Yeah, the downtown Plainfield little walkie. That's pretty heavily traveled too at cars, even though it's not the bigger road. And that's just what I think of that when I think of this, too. It seems like it's kind of...
And even, again, to the other night, walking down, just crossing, even on Mill, over, the sidewalk is lost. There's no sidewalks on... Nicholson's Hill probably has no sidewalks. That's
right.
Part, one of the problems. And they come flying in. I mean, we went to cross, and these people weren't... They don't even... I mean, maybe we need more police out there or that too, because it's down to 30 there. They come flying into town. We literally had, they weren't even going to stop. We had to run yesterday. That whole intersection, those two intersections trouble, and it's a routine basis if you're down there. That just always happens. So, I mean, at least this way they're anticipated to stop. I mean, what if they keep flying in and you got people crossing over from the
bank building?
The bank property and stuff like that. And they see the lights green, think they're going to slow down at all? Oh, gosh, the light's going
to
be
They're going to try to beat the light.
So I support just keep it the same way then if we don't want to change it. At least it slows it down going into town. So, you guys do what you want. Take it there and see what happens.
I want to do something, though. I want to fix it. Or address it. So, we have our three things. Nothing, something, everything. Right?
Four-way, basically.
Yeah. Nothing, leave it the way it is. Something, switch it to what's recommended by the engineer. And then everything is when something doesn't work, you do everything. I got it. If you want to address the problem and try to fix it, we have to make sure that what the professionals are recommending isn't the right answer. I'm not saying that isn't the right answer, but I mean, like, that's when you read data that says, yes, if we did this, we would be following all of it. We would be adhering to how you plan routes throughout the entire city and in other cities.
I mean, did you sit down there for any length of time and just watch it? Mm-hmm. At what time? Like, did you do very?
I was in the afternoon, but I had a staff member that was down there on several different occasions. I personally was down there. At least an hour, hour and a half. I know I was down there with Eric on another occasion, separate from when I was down there with my staff who was, you know, observing the intersection.
Yeah, I think in mornings and afternoons.
You don't think that's a concern of the speed as they come into town if we take that out?
Stop signs are not to be used for speed control. That's like number one rule out of the MUTCD. So, it's, you know, if that's the case, then it sounds like it's more of an enforcement issue.
If we want change, we're going to try something.
What are the plans for a pedestrian crossing somewhere in that general vicinity? Are there any?
Well, mid-block crossings, as Joel mentioned, are generally frowned upon. But, you know, I would think that we would probably put one up at each intersection across Van Emmon at Mill and Eustis. Anywhere there's an actual street, we would recommend it. So... you know, I don't know that we had jumped to actually talking about that yet, simply because we didn't know how this conversation was going to go. But yeah, I would think that we should look at it similar to how we have elsewhere in town. Mm-hmm.
Don't you find where? So if you do the west side of Eustis, where the sidewalk is, and you can cross by Santiago, if you put that walk in, people are going to be stopping in the walk. Because of the sidelines. Would you agree when you were down there?
People.
So if you say you mark, because it's not marked, it's not really a crosswalk that's marked there.
Correct.
But so if you marked it out, the way the sidelines are, and people, I mean, they stop both ways past the stop bar.
Whatever. Right, but there wouldn't be a stop on Van Emmon.
Right.
I see what you're saying. This is true. I don't. Send it on to council and see what happens.
It'd be somewhat Kennedy Road. I mean, we just put in the shared use path. We have a couple crossings of Kennedy Road. I should know my traffic counts on Kennedy Road, but it's at least 2,000 cars, probably a lot more than that. Probably
5,000.
So, there are crosswalks that have been installed on Kennedy as well.
Yeah, but Kennedy Road's more out in the open. It's more open than this is down here.
Yeah, but when you're in an urban area, you would, just naturally driving, you would anticipate that more of, pedestrian traffic.
I would like to try something, and something is his recommendation. And then if that's terrible and terrifying, we do everything.
So four-way's not even going to be an option then?
Not. That's not the recommendation by the engineer.
Okay.
Recommendation is you swap the signs. I just want to, if it's been that way for 20 years and we still have all these problems, let's flip it. See what happens.
Whatever. I mean, I don't agree with that, but just my opinion.
You're doing a big tiff and you're going to grow it down there to make it more pedestrian friendly and
cause more problems.
And now you're taking.
Yeah, that whole area, if in the after 3 years we wait for someone to develop it per previous meeting, then you'll have even more people down there.
Mm-hmm.
On both streets, probably.
You hope?
Always, like in my opinion, you can always get more restrictive based on. I don't think you can go in and go, yep, four-way intersection or four-way stop sign right away.
Just put on a red road jump and see what everybody says.
So basically, when it went to council, it'll be a, if you wanted a four-way, it'll be a nay?
We're not even going to go a four-way, though.
Right. Now, well, I'm saying you'd vote nay if you want a four-way.
I won't support that, but that's just me, but there's seven other of you.
Right. I just want to know
it's,
what...
It's 3 feet from your house.
Well, I know my neighbors are going to...
In this particular instance, it says, we have a problem, we need to do something, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's do something. So we did something, or they did something, and they studied it and said, okay, this is what we recommend. To alleviate these issues, we will do this. It's not the answer you were looking for.
I just foresee worse accidents. It just.
Or we do option D, no signs.
There you go. Make it
good
free
luck.
For everybody. Make it a free for all.
Good luck.
If I myself haven't slid through that, and I know to slow down. Or I called Eric the one day everybody was sliding down. It was black ice. I'm like, Eric, Ted went down sideways. Larry Cott's daughter went down, flipped, and went down backwards. And now you're not going to have people stopping, and all of a sudden you're going to have a truck or a car coming down the wrong way because they're online. It doesn't happen that often, but it happens. So... But that's just
once
my
in
opinion.
A while.
That's
other
just
issues
my opinion.
Are constant. So that happens.
So go ahead and change it and see what happens. I'm just not going to support it.
But if,
there's enough,
yeah, but
you know.
Though we're talking about nothing versus something, so if we want to do something, wouldn't you want to go with the recommendation by the professionals as opposed to going, well, this is what I feel? Because I know that my feelings aren't rooted
in
fact.
It wasn't watched on a day that it was icy. There's just so many factors. If you look at them... Joel, because I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've watched it. So I've just figured it would come back. It would. In fact, the whole idea was just to leave it the way it was, but to get the signs to be more noticeable. It's dark there.
Mm-hmm.
Like at night, the lights are terrible down there. There's other things wrong with it. That's moving the sign.
See, now through this discussion, we are exploring not only other options, other things that maybe we should
focus on. How do we get a better light down there? I mean, that's another thing. Maybe people can't see the stop sign.
Not the exception. I don't know how on your computer.
But to say, people are confused. I listen to this all day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I'm very down on people. You're confused. This is life. There's a stop sign. You stop. Period. Stop. Make a full stop. Assess the situation. Do we all have this in driver's education? But that's not our society anymore. So we're confused. Let's just change it and let's hope it works.
I say we hold this off for a couple months. Let's watch it during the icy couple months. But what can we do about getting more lights down there?
Is there a light out there, or is there not? It seemed very dark.
Just the one at Nicholson's corner, actually. Yeah,
This property sucks it up.
Well, it's on an angle.
This
up
is
over
a tip area. I would think anything you could do to generate economic development would be huge down there.
The only thing I will say that is there now is against what the MUTCD recommends.
Right.
You're stopping the collector street. That's totally against what it's there for.
Do we have a history? I mean, this is beyond probably all our time. Why was it put there like that?
It was put there because of the hill issue, because that's the way people felt.
Even I remember that.
Yeah, it's not supported by the data. Yeah, I'm not saying I've seen it my entire life.
Then now let's be consistent. I'm just being a crab here.
Okay.
But like by Groner's house, then let's change it there because it's still a collector street, isn't it on the other side?
It's not. It doesn't. It ends at 47. It has 800 cars a day. It's not a collector street. That would be Fox up that hill. Is the collector?
Okay.
Yeah. No. It's definitely not a collector street.
So it's the collector street designation ends at 47.
Yes, because of the traffic.
Okay.
Yep. And, you know, even with when the post office was on the other side, it doesn't make collector street. It doesn't have that volume of traffic.
You can do it, and see what happens. I could be wrong. I'm just like I said, I'm just afraid someone's really going to get hurt. Because you're going to have
snow tires,
grooves in the pavement.
You really
I don't know. Maybe
roads to better roads.
No, maybe our guys need a salt to better. No, I'm just kidding.
We actually probably use twice as much salt on the road as we do on the other roads.
I know you do. I'm just making fun.
That's okay. I got broad shoulders.
So Jackie, this is like
I just wanted lights on the sign so people would be not confused as our friends are confused. Like, it's a dark. Look, there's a stop sign. Maybe there's lights blinking. I need to stop. That's what my neighbor came to me. Like, why cannot those signs be more visible that they stop? Because it was the Milans that brought this up again. Because they almost
got 48-inch stop signs.
Yeah, we did have
those. We had gigantic stop signs.
Let's just leave it
that
society doesn't follow rules anymore. And you can be in a hurry to get out of town or get into town, you don't have to stop at the sign.
Well, that becomes an enforcement, I do agree with.
And that's an enforcement issue.
So this stop sign was put in place against the recommendation.
I don't know if MUTCD made that recommendation at that time. That stop sign has been there, predates when I got here, is when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Riding my bike there.
It's been there forever.
But when I was riding my bike there, it was 2,500 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was four cars.
Yeah, riding to it was 5,000.
So?
But it is against, it goes against the...
I mean, we can change it and see what happens.
Do we change it and see what happens, or do we hold off until January, and in the meantime, figure out your blinkies, and maybe talk about putting another stop, or an actual streetlight on the opposite corner?
And can we work on getting the sight lines cleaned up? I know that's a whole issue because that's that whole issue cleaning up that property.
That will never happen. That will be like that forever.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just assume they will never get improved. That intersection. And that corner of the intersection will never
That intersection
improved.
Needs improvement, though. Especially if you want to develop it.
That's something that we can't do anything about what could happen. We can only talk about what we can do.
All right.
This is one option. Holding off for a couple months and seeing how many people slide down, look at the crash reports for this winter. Look at your blinkies. Talk about the streetlight. I mean, let's figure it out.
I mean, read some of these descriptions. Of these accidents.
I did. I read them aloud in a Shakespearean accent.
I'm sorry I missed that.
No, he didn't do that for us, thankfully.
Drive a one and drive
I mean, three are definitely, it doesn't say, but I could tell you the time of the year they were weather related.
11-6, I'm guessing rain, though.
Or rain.
If that's weather related.
Well, we also had down there, remember when they were working, there was a lot of gravel in that intersection. Because I know my neighbor, Don Kager, got hit, slid out. Remember, it was just, they were working there.
Right.
spun on the gravel and ended up at Nicholson's place. So he's one of these. And that was somebody that was in, oh, there was a stop sign. You know, she was from the area. So it's up to you guys. I mean, if you want to send it on, fine.
Ken?
Hmm.
What do you want to do?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's worth. Because I kind of like the four-way, but it sounds like that's not really supposed to be an option, so.
Let's bring it to council and talk about it with everyone.
Oh, God, we don't have that much time.
What do you mean we don't have that much time?
I could die before you decide.
We do everything. This is a step towards something. If that doesn't go through council, we go, okay, send it back to committee, talk about your bleepies and the other street light. And if that doesn't work, next time we bring it back, talk about a four-way. But again, I always want to rely on the information you've paid for me.
I know, and I believe every, you know, everything Brad has said. There's more traffic in that. It just...
Oh, I don't argue that point either.
I'm not arguing it. I'm just trying to... You know, we got a lot of young drivers on our street. I mean, it just, yeah, a lot of kids coming from school. It's a bad situation.
We could just close the intersection.
There you go.
Force it one way this way.
Make us all go
Force
up by
down through downtown.
Make it a cul-de-sac. There you go. Make it a cul-de-sac.
Make it a cul-de-sac.
Because Eric loves cul-de-sacs.
Just everybody right down to where we want.
Yeah.
That would be, I grew up on one-way streets. I don't care.
And that's a whole different ballgame.
How about a series of Heartland speedways?
Let's put a traffic circle.
Hey, can
right
we
here.
Buy one of your potholes over
yeah,
there?
Yeah, so freaking literally, I got some in my car.
Boy, I saw your first street the other day. It's not far from that. It's
yeah,
really
what's
start-
going on up
that's
there?
That's that lovely 2007 pavement.
It was a bad year.
It was. There was no oil in the asphalt.
Yeah,
story of that.
But it's much better than it ever was. So that's the one to play.
Come on. You had to love the railroad ties.
I loved my railroad ties. We miss our culvert for leaf catching. And the fox used to live in my culvert.
Yes.
I want to move it forward. What do you want to
that's
do?
That's fine.
Okay, Ken, you with it?
I'm fine with it.
Put it forward.
Cool.
I'll vote with
Let's
you.
Talk about it with everyone.
What were you, Jack?
Now, the moment I've been waiting for. New business number
food scraps.
Public Works 2017-84.
Let's talk about food scraps.
Yes.
I had Brad study the food scraps,
food
too.
Scraps. They're just fun things to say. Food scraps.
I actually don't have an update from the hall of how many people that I think have participated in it. The question from Alderman Frieders was... how many people are participating, and originally we had bid it out as a subscription-based service, and then I had forgot that Advanced Disposal actually provides it for free only during the summer months, and people can just mix in food scraps with their yard waste. So I don't know if they have an estimate on that based on, like, average weight, or if just they've noticed it through, like, you know, running an inventory, but that's something that I've asked for from them. To see if they even have just anecdotal information about how many people are taking advantage of it.
Were we supposed to get, like, if you wanted to do that, a third garbage can to do that in?
No. They said to just mix it into a yard waste bag. So, yeah.
I think that's how they tell how many people are doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
No, mix it up in yard waste. Yard waste is kind of more than compost.
I don't do my food scraps. I do my own composter.
Problem with putting it in the compost... Coons and possums and everything else then are in your compost digging for it.
Squirrels always find the avocados.
Yeah, they I was right, surprised.
I'm curious because we had the solid waste update last week and Marlon had asked, totally forgot we even did that. Which is just, you know, getting too busy and not realizing what I'm excited about. So that's just something that, like, when they do get back to you, if you can give us an update, I think it's good to relatively reference it every now and again just to remind people. I know with the e-waste, it's now like kind of common. Everybody has four TVs in their basement.
At least we get calls at least three times a month.
Good. And then you can refer them to the website.
See, at Fermi, they have separate dumpsters for them. so you can take your stuff to Fermi.
That's what I was wondering.
It's the food scraps are in a separate dumpster.
I think Oak Park is that little tiny one. I forget.
Yeah, they're littler ones, yep.
Yeah.
Which would make more sense than, like you said, throwing it in with, like, your leaf brown bags, because you are right.
It would, but it depends on the facility receiving it, not on the actual scraps themselves.
And I think the price in Oak Park is, like, it's, like, $20 or $30 a month. It's, like, almost as much as the actual yard waste. Yeah. You can do it on a subscription basis. But it's still like a couple $100, I would say.
Well, I like the update, so thank you.
Oh, hey, this is always fun to do.
Building condition reports 27.
I get to do this twice. It's so much fun.
This is my cute little bathroom.
It's nice to be there twice.
Yeah, I'll keep it real brief because Kathy and I have to run to the township for a TIF meeting here in about 10 to 15 minutes. But we've got the City Hall and 610 Tower Lane buildings there. And then the general issues with both, you know, the FCI value of what the replacement is versus how many things need to be done to the building. The recommendations for both of these facilities for 610 Tower Lane was to not maintain it if we don't have to, because the amount of things that are wrong with the building far outweigh the replacement value of it. And then City Hall and the police station, it was borderline. We had a couple staff members who thought, don't touch it unless you have to. And then there were some that said, well, you should continue to maintain it just to protect your future interests. So City Hall, I think the biggest thing, at least the most expensive thing, was the roof needs to be replacing, needs to be replaced. And we said at admin that something like that, you can't really defer. You either make the decision right then to protect the rest of the building or, you know.
As I pointed out, the leak.
Walk away from the, yeah. So that is something that, you know, as part of the budget proposals, we'll probably make a recommendation on. But for both of these, we kind of said if it's not a life safety issue, there's not, like, an immediate strategic reason to do so, to kind of just defer maintenance on these two buildings for as long as possible. So, and then the PowerPoint is in there, similar to how we did last meeting, but for these two buildings, too, in case you wanted to get into the details.
The only thing that I've noticed about the with the report, it doesn't talk about revenue stream generation for solving some of these.
It definitely does not, no.
Yeah, and that's something that I'm a little should be copying it. How you plan on
paying for it. Like if you put on a roof, how are we gonna fund it?
Yeah, like they give you a number and then okay, now I got this number, how do I fund it? Am I taking out of the general fund?
So the scope of the report that we asked them to do did not touch that at all. So we didn't ask them to do that. And that was something that we wanted to get our arms around what the expenditure side was before we talk about, future building planning, knocking off some deferred maintenance, making decisions, maybe we can save ourselves some money down the road. So that was all supposed to be done internally.
Yeah, because, like, basically what it does is it just adds a whole bunch more items to your unfunded projects that we have in our budget every year.
Yeah, it's similar when we did our first pavement report. We had no idea how we were going to pay for it at the time. We just knew that we needed to get our arms around, our entire universe of issues and then make some decisions after that.
Sort of like creating the scope for the next phase of the project.
Because I think when I first became alderman, Beecher was on that budget. The HVAC over there.
Oh, yeah.
That was on there back in 2013.
That's just one of those looming issues.
So it's like, it's just now there's a whole bunch of buildings.
It's just
on it.
A matter of when, not if.
Well, you could argue the roof, too, here.
Yeah, this was a little better. That's a 1980 model. It's already almost 40 years old.
That was my own.
They wouldn't have to tear it out. Could they go over? I mean, there's only one
they could, up. But with these architecturals, it becomes very heavy, and then it becomes very expensive the next time you want to do it.
Right.
And if there are leaks, you'd like to find where they are and fix the...
And there could be other damage.
There could be some plywood damage from stuff like that. We'd have to... I would, again, defer to a couple of roofing companies and see what their opinion is.
I just know it's cheaper if they don't tear off, but you're just... Correct. You're just kicking it down the can down the road.
And you're doubling your cost next time.
And the admin committee's decision was to continue to look at two or three buildings per meeting, just cycling through them in anticipation for the budget proposal next year. If nothing else, just so everybody is at least somewhat aware of, you know, the outstanding maintenance issues on each building.
All right.
Don't do that.
Do those get moved forward for?
They've just been recycled at the committee. Okay. The last couple of meetings. So it should be on the next meeting as well.
Bring it back to committee.
12. Old business number 2, Public Works 2014-74, railroad, quiet zone.
Yeah, long discussion at the last meeting. There was a couple open-ended items that we brought back to you this evening. One was the topic of the partial quiet zone. The gentleman raised that issue. So we pulled the excerpts out of the train rule, and basically what it says is you have to follow basically the full improvements. You have to put in the signals and all the stuff that goes with the full 24-hour rule. So no cost savings if a partial were to be put in place. The other item that just thought we'd point out, too, is that in the next section of the memo, all the Illinois Rail Net crossings, there are two of them that could be treated separately from the rest of them if the city so desired, just to point those out. Basically, everything within a half mile, you have to do it all together. There's a couple of them that fall outside of that threshold. And then the other thing just to highlight, too, is on the Burlington Northern Santa Fe line, basically it's anticipated that those improvements necessary to implement a quiet zone would be very minimal, and they could just be basically flexible delineators, it would appear. All the signals and gates and what have you up there, they've all been improved here recently and should meet the requirements. And it's my understanding, too, that Kendall County is considering moving forward with the one on Cannonball, investigating that one.
They did at their board meeting today, as far as I'm aware. That was on the agenda after our short TIF discussion.
So I'm going to have no roads and a quiet zone.
You can hear the cars coming.
You can hear the cars driving in my neighborhood. The plows especially. They're
but
louder
you,
than
you trains. Won't be woken up by a train.
No, I'm loud. I'm woken up by children.
You still will. It will still be at
Beecher. Yeah. So there's nothing that we can do without costing us potentially millions of dollars,
right,
to be thorough.
Downtown, correct.
And there's nothing we can do as far as a relationship with RailNet to... You can't go between the city and the company because the company is underneath the auspices of the railroad.
FRA, yeah.
By the company.
Do we want to buy the company?
And then you can and you can make the rules.
It wasn't that many years ago the whole thing was for sale.
Yeah.
And they bought it, right?
They didn't have a buyer for quite some time. They were asking the municipalities if they all wanted
to buy it. Yeah, my that was someone was going to buy it to do
the dinner train.
A dinner train.
Yeah.
But then the other idea was all the municipalities buy it for a trail.
Yeah, that was what I remember. That we were going to talking about a trail.
See, there they
could
have had their trail.
Like you did along 64 there, I believe. So, how did, I know Roselle has a partial quiet on a couple, I was doing some research, and so they're just grandfathered in on that, or how did they get that?
I can't speak to what
Roselle
did.
So how does that work?
So
another town can get it, but another town, certain towns.
Oh, you can get it.
You have to the full improvements.
Okay.
Correct. It's just a time limit. That's the partial.
Okay.
The time limit.
Correct.
You still need the improvements.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you still need
the same
money. You need to upgrade every signal. They have to have gates. They have to have constant warning time. All that has to be in place. And the signals downtown do not have that.
Okay.
We have lots of empty lots in Prairie Meadows. We would be happy to entertain anyone who would like to move away from the tracks, get good distance, won't have...
You're sorry.
Now, where's the public when you say that? So they can yell at you.
I can speak my piece because people from Hartwell are going to vote me out.
I won't.
Well... Thank you.
So you're the one.
That's two votes. You're a
receiver.
That's okay, White Oak.
So, I'm going to be. I would expect it to be back on the agenda in the next year.
A place that's named after an insane asylum.
But I don't see what else we can really do. We don't have enough money to complete our infrastructure, let alone make it aesthetically pleasing. And I totally get it. Like the guys that were here and they explain how it's like.
Oh, sure.
But then again, maybe there's something we can recommend as far as their construction materials in their houses. Maybe there's a different type of insulation. Because one of my friends lived underneath a flight path at LAX. Mm-hmm. And before they renovated his apartment to get, like, he had to basically pay more rent to get one of the quiet ones, everything would rattle. And it wasn't the plane flying over, it was when the sound caught up. That noise was more of a hindrance to quality of life than the actual of the airplane, because these were small, like this noise would actually make you think you're going insane, which might explain a lot.
So maybe that's what they were doing.
You know, the school I grew up was by Midway.
Maybe that's what they were doing in Cuba.
Oh, no. Yes, the noises.
In the school, the grade school, is in a flight plan and not a Midway. I'm on the south side of Cicero where I grew up. And they came in, did a study, put things, all new windows. None of the windows open in the school now. Mm-hmm. So then they had to go in and put air conditioning. It was a whole big deal. But it all got paid for.
Yeah.
So the whole school. 50 school got renovated.
Maybe that's something we can ask around that. What do you recommend we build our houses and businesses with so that we don't hear you tooting all darn day?
I like here.
Their answer? We were here before you.
That's right. 18-something, 18-something.
They weren't.
They just
bought. Somebody else
that
was.
Line was.
The railroad
was. Yeah.
So we know that they've increased, what, from 1 to 9 a day now? Or
it's not consistent, though. It's not 9. I mean, there's days go by. It depends
on the Aurora yard. Illinois Rail, and that's a Burlington Northern.
Do you want
an
Eola?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's one by the Roundhouse. And if that yard is full of Burlington Northern equipment trains, they tell Illinois Rail that you can't come today, but you can bring 4 tomorrow.
Okay.
So yeah, it's inconsistent.
And that demand has slowed down a little bit too for the fracking. I know.
But if they were like during the day, like between like 10 a.m. and 2 p.m.?
It's whenever Burlington.
But that's when the Aurora Yard's
full.
Probably full. So when is it not full? It's middle of the night.
And it used to be one early morning and one late at night. Like overnight.
There's three.
They park.
Not every night, but like from.
Yeah,
I'm going to say 8:30 to 10. There could be three.
Yeah, I think they just
pretty much back to back.
I think they bunch them up now and go.
And then there's one. Ted gets up about 4:30. There's one about 4:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the morning. But everybody that's the wake up call.
That's the one there.
So just to be clear, I don't anticipate that there's going to be any change in the RailNet line recommendation. But the fact that you can probably get three intersections for under $50,000. On the BNSF line, nobody wants to pursue with that half of the engineering agreement either.
Hell no.
No. Because if you do that,
you're going to have everybody on their screen.
You're not going to besmirch all the people in the South.
Right.
Well, it's only $50,000. No, that's rude.
$50,000 will put it in a roof.
The quality of life is not a zero-sum game, though. You could say that.
Oh, yeah. Stop.
I don't know. Hey, you're going to change the stuff. I can't buy my house. It's going to affect my quality.
The exception of the two guys that I asked to be here because they both work on the railroad all the live long day.
I get it.
I got to use that.
You
got to
go.
Yes.
It was such a pleasure.
Glad to see you.
Don't you like our public work?
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
It'll be back.
No further action.
Any additional business?
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, you too. Yes.
What should we do about Bart's new choice in hair? Let it go. Oh, hey, Bart.
The light?
He is getting it. It's a new old choice in hair. It needs to be much longer than this.
We need photo proof for the next public works meeting.
I think my wife has a veto proof authority on that committee.
All right, meeting adjourned.
What?
Wait.
Did you have any additional business? Cleaver?
No.
Oh, return.
Now meeting adjourned.